So days had passed since he had passed. The days drifted by in a slow blur, as if in a dream, a bad dream. They were the type of days where it felt like you were looking through the world through a thick film. You know, the sounds of crying family members and friends would rise and fall in unexpected intervals. Even that seemed to blur into the background as the numbness of your heart at a time like this seemed to numb all of the senses as well. That is, unless it was Mary who was crying. When Mary would cry, it was different. It would cut through the air and find its way directly to your heart. It had a way of changing the color of your face, your countenance, your posture. It was the sound of a wounded woman. She loved him so. And now he was sealed behind that stone. Mary's sister, Martha, she dealt with her emotions quite differently. She kept her hands busy while cooking and cleaning and tending to the guests that had come to comfort her. It had been 4 days since her brother Lazarus had died and been placed in the tomb. The hope of Jesus' healing touch had faded. As they sent word as Lazarus was fading, but now his light had gone out. And Martha just longed for the comfort of her friend Jesus now. When the news came that Jesus was near, she dropped everything she was doing. She sniffed a couple short breaths and wiped the bottom of her eyes with her index finger, took a deep breath, straightened her posture, and made for the door. Martha walked quickly, nearly the pace of a jog. In the distance, she could see the figure of the one who brought hope. Martha knew his visit would be helpful to Mary. As she approached, she remembered all that she had seen him do. "If you had only been here," she said while catching her breath. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her that her brother would rise again. Martha was not in the mood for a theology lesson. But her respect for the carpenter turned teacher turned tempered her speech. "I know," she replied. "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Though Jesus was not just using kind-hearted words to have some cliche statement to share after someone had passed, he had something more powerful in mind. He said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world," she replies. Her faith strengthened her, and she went back to get Mary. Mary met Jesus with the same verbal greeting as her sister did. But I seem to think it would be a little different coming from the different sisters. "If you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Mary gave her greeting from the ground as she fell at Jesus' feet. Mary had been at Jesus' feet before. She had poured perfume on them and washed them with her hair. Mary and Martha were very different people. And Jesus loved them as individuals. Instead of words, as Jesus meets Martha, Jesus simply meets Mary with tears. From this scene, we move on to the tomb of Lazarus, and Jesus tells them to move the stone away. And he calls to his friend, "Lazarus, come out." And lo and behold, to everyone's surprise, out walks Lazarus from the appearance of a walking mummy, tripping over his own burial wrappings. Jesus had told Martha, "I am the resurrection and life." And then he showed that he was. He doesn't just say that he's bringing the resurrection and life. He provides a resurrection and life to show them, to show us today, 2,000 years later, that he is, he am, the resurrection and the life. He is the walking, breathing, talking resurrection and life. And this is the sixth I am series, or I am statement in this series. If you're counting, it's actually the fifth I am statement with the bonus one is number six. I am the resurrection and life. John was very deliberate in his account as he chose to record certain things in his gospel. He chose seven specific miracles that he calls signs because they show more than just impressive wonders that Jesus could do. They told about his person, his character, and purpose. And just like the seven signs, John chose to share seven I am statements, plus the bonus one we talked about a couple weeks ago. And these I am statements also revealed Jesus' person, character, and purpose. These statements, they are timeless. In most cases, when you say I am, then later you're going to say I was, right? When I was 14 years old, I could say, I am a skateboarder. I had that haircut, and my dad told me, he said, you're going to have neck problems when you grow up. Because that's what, you know, you... Sure enough, I see a chiropractor on a regular basis. I am at 14, but now at 47, I can say I was. Because I'm not now. But these I am statements, they are timeless. Jesus is, or to use his word, he am. He still am to this day. So in our Christmas series, we've been journeying through these seven I am statements to be reminded of the depth of what God gave us. Some 2,000 years ago in that little manger. Each week we've looked at these I am statements and we've been bringing things out of the manger to represent these different I am statements. In John chapter 6, in our very first one, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The bread that's come down from heaven. We've talked about how his life, or the bread of life, are his words. That his words bring life. And that if we listen to his words, if we eat of his words, then those who believe, because they have eaten of his words, they'll have life. And this was a gift that God gave us. So in modern tradition, we'll just put it up underneath the Christmas tree. That was the gift that God gave away in a manger some 2,000 years ago. We moved on from there. We looked at the second I am statement that's found in John chapter 8 and 9 where Jesus declares, he says, I am the light of the world. And we talked about how Jesus is the revealer, that when the light comes to the world, he reveals truth and not this relative truth that's going on all around us, that Jesus revealed absolute truth. He revealed the absolute truth of where we stand with God, the absolute truth of what happens if we die in our sin, the absolute truth of what happens if we die in him, the absolute truth of what happens if we believe in him. I am the light of the world. And that also was a gift that came upon a midnight clear some 2,000 years ago. Then we moved on to the non-traditional I am statement. The I am statement that doesn't have an identifier, the one where Jesus basically says, I am God. Where he said before Abraham was, I am. Jesus bees. Jesus is in a constant state of existing. That's why we have an hourglass. Kind of works as an infinity sign. We have an hourglass with no sand in it because Jesus is not bound by time. He am. God could say 6,000 years ago, before the world had been created, I am. God could say to Abraham 3,000 years ago, or not Abraham, Moses, I am from the burning bush. And he could say 2,000 years ago from his son, I am. Jesus, the great I am. In that little town of Bethlehem. And the great I am came as a gift to us. Last week we talked about two I am statements that show up together. I am the shepherd and I am the gate in our magical manger. We talked about how the shepherd and the gate were the same thing, even though they're two separate I am statements. The shepherd who protects, who provides, who fulfills all of that that's listed in Psalm 23. He takes care of his sheep. He loves his sheep. He cares for him, protects him. And then at night, the shepherd lays across the gate. He becomes the gate. And there's only one way in and out of the gates. There's only one way to enter, and that is through the gate. The good shepherd, or as we looked at last week, the ideal shepherd, the beautiful shepherd, the excellent shepherd, the model shepherd. And he brought joy to the world, didn't he? So many years ago. And that was a gift. When we think about this, and a lot of us, I'd say every one of us, celebrated with gifts underneath the Christmas tree. Yesterday morning, this week we have already covered the sixth I am statement. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus shares these words with Martha, and then he illustrates this in a very real way of calling their dead brother out of the tomb 4 days after he had died. I love the King James on that when he says, pull the stone away. I believe it was Martha said, sir, but now he would stinketh. Jesus is the walking and talking resurrection of mankind, not just for Lazarus that day. The first five statements that we looked at, the first five I am statements, they were in a mixed crowd, a large crowd. They catered to an audience that Jesus knew some would accept the truth that he was sharing, some would reject the truth. These last three I am statements are very personal. It's kind of neat how John moves like this. This I am statement is shared with one person, a believer who really believed, a model believer. She gets it, you know. We're not going to take many notes this morning. This morning's more of a absorb it and take it in. But let's just real quick take a look at Martha's confession, because there's just some neat little nuggets there in it. She says, yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah. Let's go on to the scripture. There we go. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah. It's going back to notes. So going forward, Messiah means Christ, the promised one. Let's write that down. She believed that Jesus was the Christ. See, for them, they longed for the Christ. They were waiting for the Christ. And the Messiah or the Christ, he was going to save their people. Little did Martha know what was going to happen with Lazarus, and then what would happen with Jesus, and then the offer for all of humanity, where Jesus showed the authority that he had as the resurrection and the life. He didn't just come to save the Jews. He came to save us. He was the Christ. And when we say Jesus Christ, that's not his last name. That's a description of who he is. That's a title. And more than a title, it's his purpose, what he fulfilled for us, the bringer of the new covenant. It's going forward to the scripture again. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. So let's write that down. She believed that he was the Son of God, that not only was Jesus saved to, sent to save mankind, but he was more than just a prophet, more than just a good teacher. She understood something that a lot of people did not understand about Jesus at that time, that he truly was God's Son, that Jesus was the Word made flesh and blood. God, Emmanuel, as we've sung in some Christmas songs. God with us. It's going back to that scripture. She says, yes, yes, Lord. She replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. She understood. I mean, these things that we talked about, the bread of life that God sent, he came down into the world, the light of the world, that God was, he was teaching the teachings that God had given to him. God sent him to teach those things. The shepherd, when we talked about the watchman that opened the gate or allowed the gate to be opened for the shepherd, God orchestrated that. He gave Jesus a permission. He gave Jesus the power. He empowered him. He enabled him. And Martha got that. She understood that. Let's write this down. She believed in his humanity. She believed that Jesus came to earth from God. He was God's son. But he was still fully human. We talked about this. I believe it was the I am, just I am. You know, when we look at these notes, they're super simple. Sometimes we need to just pause and reflect on the simple, you know? He is the Christ. He is God's Son. And he did come to earth for us. Things get crazy, especially during this time of the year. All the stuff going around and the supply chain mess. I mean, there was threats of that messing up Christmas. We gave the boys desks. I know that doesn't sound, there's a bigger story to it than that, but they were super excited about it. But my wife and I had these two picked out. But they hadn't seen this one since March, and they hadn't seen this one since June, and they had no hope of seeing them in the future. So we had to go with this color and this color. And they're good. I mean, these were pretty cool. You know, and this year was just, I think it was escalated even more than the craziness of other Christmases because of so many of the things that have been added to it this year. And Christmas, quite frankly, has become very commercial. David, I think I'm going to need your help with this, sir. Because sometimes we need to strip away some of the chaos. We need to take away some of the distractions and just lay them aside and simplify. All the here and there, worrying about politics, worrying about what's going to happen with the economy, what's going on with my job, and what's going on with my kids, and what's going on with my parents. All good things to be concerned about, but sometimes we just need to strip it away, don't we? And just simplify. Oh, hold on. Because you know what? This really was the first Christmas tree, wasn't it? That's what the manger was for. The bread of life. That's where it came from. His words brought life because of the resurrection. The light of the world, the truth. That there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. And Jesus provided the only way to escape sin. The ideal, the model shepherd who said, I am the model shepherd because I'm willing to lay my life down for my sheep. And those weren't just words, were they? The I am. And all of his power and authority come. And he hung on the first Christmas tree so that we could have all these wonderful gifts. This morning, as we've just crossed past Christmas, my desire this morning was to connect Christmas with Easter, the manger and the cross. So when I talked to David, he went back and he found the songs that we sung this past Easter. And he just pulled those. So I'd like us to go on and take the side fills down. I want to invite the band to come up. And I want us to take this time to focus on the resurrection and the life. And that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about the sacrifice, our sins being paid for, and the resurrection. Jesus is, he am, the resurrection and the life.